Hi, my name is Jesse Hirsch, and this is The Future Herd, a podcast about collaboration and leadership in a changing food system. Today, we're looking at a question that sits at the corner of every conversation about the future of agriculture. Who will build it? Who will run it? And who will have the skills to make it work? To explore that, I speak with Jennifer Wright from the Canadian Agricultural Human Resource Council. Her work focuses on the National Workforce Strategy for Agriculture and Food Manufacturing, and she brings a clear view of what it will take to prepare the sector for the decades ahead. We talk about the skills needed for a more technological and innovative industry, the partnerships required to build meaningful training systems, and how to turn long-range visions into concrete action. It's a conversation about the people behind the future, what they need, how we prepare them, and why collaboration is the only path forward.
My name is Jennifer Wright. I'm with the Canadian Agriculture Human Resource Council, also known as CARC. And why is the future worth considering? I think it's essential that we look to the future to ensure that we have the workforce, the skills, and things in place to ensure that our agriculture and food sector continues to thrive and grow.
And how did you feel in terms of the AAC 2050 event? How do you feel that the future that we collaborated, that as a group we tried to evoke, to what extent did it meet your needs or ambitions as an organization, as a professional, who I suspect thinks about the future of the agricultural sector here in Canada quite a bit?
Yeah, I thought that it was a really great event and lots of great discussion. Our organization has been leading the National Workforce Strategic Plan for Agriculture and Food and Beverage Manufacturing, which has really been looking into the future at least to 2030. So it was great to hear a lot of this same kind of conversations, same interests, same priorities coming out of conversations in Ontario. And even in that longer term, we look at 2030 and this event and initiative is looking to 2050. But those priorities that need to be addressed are really aligned with all of the same conversations as what we're having. And so it was great to be part of it and certainly aligned with the work that we do as well.
And are there particular priorities or particular visions, to be even more broad, that you think are worth emphasizing or that resonated in particular?
I think there's a few things. Certainly the focus on collaboration and moving forward together, I think, is a key thing that came out of these conversations. But that real focus on how can we adopt technology, automation, digitalization, robotics, all of that. I really think that as we move forward, our industry has a real opportunity to lead the way in a lot of that technology. And from our organization's perspective, we do need to ensure that we are getting the workforce in place that has the skills that will support that adoption. As I like to say, none of this can happen without the people. And we need to make sure we have the people and that those people have the right skills to move us forward.
Well, and on that in particular, where do you see, for lack of a better phrase, the kind of skills infrastructure, the training infrastructure coming from? There were a lot of other organizations in the room who represent the educational sector, but I suspect this is much more of a hybrid solution, especially I like 2030 in that it's a little more immediate than 2050. But both feel as if they're kind of right around the corner. And your point about ensuring that the workforce is effectively prepared, I think, is crucial. So how is that? Where is the infrastructure? Where is the collaboration needed to make sure that we're able to make that happen?
I completely agree that hybrid approach is required. There's no one solution to this. We do need to make sure that we're continuing to build strong partnerships across industry and post-secondary education institutions. We need to ensure that those partnerships are, of course, with the agriculture programs, but also beyond into the programs that are, you know, really pushing the AI, the digitalization, the commercialization of innovation and that type of thing. At the same time, I would say that the agriculture and food sector has had a labor shortage or workforce shortage for some time. We know it's continuing to grow. We need to ensure that we're also complementing the attraction of new people with new skills in with upskilling, reskilling our current workforce as well. We're not in a position where we can lose people. We want to make sure that we're retaining our workforce, but we also need to ensure that they have that support to have micro-credentials, on-the-job training, access to that upskilling, reskilling in different ways. So it really is a hybrid. And I think there's lots of infrastructure in Canada in place. It's making sure that we bring it all together and that we really collaborate to ensure we're, again, moving forward together on the same in the same direction.
Well, and I really love the kind of message about the micro certification and the upskilling and making sure that existing communities are benefiting from some of the resources and also some of the opportunities. When we think about education, we think about upskilling. And what role does collaboration play in not just making those accessible, but I think what you were alluding to, making them almost post-institutional. So you don't have to go away to school. You can have it happen on your farm. You can have it happen kind of maybe even in your living room in terms of remote applications. How does collaboration make that happen, make that tangible, make it solid?
Well, I guess there's a few different ways. I'd say for one thing, you know, maybe the pandemic was a real catalyst for this. We were already seeing some shifts in how education and training was delivered, but certainly I think it pushed us to a different place where there's more accessibility to online virtual training, that kind of thing. We're really seeing some really advanced innovation in how that training is delivered as well with, you know, different, you can do VR from home and that kind of thing. So that really gives you that hands-on ability and you can be on the farm or in your living room, as you say, and have that accessibility. But I think there's making sure that we're talking to each other about what's needed and what's really going to be effective in this skilling, reskilling is very important. And that's where that collaboration comes in. Everybody wants to have, you know, the best training program and the best, you know, answer to everything. But I think in this situation, we really need to be collaborating and having industry inform the development of not only the post-secondary programming, but also the upskilling, reskilling, micro-credentials. They can be delivered in different formats by different institutions, but there needs to be some quality around it, and there needs to be some standards around that development, and there also needs to be industry input into that development so we don't end up with these programs, which is we're solving a problem that's not there. That can happen. We really need to make sure that what's being delivered is, again, that quality level, but also solving problems that do exist or may exist in the near future.
Well, and I think one of the ways that the kind of quality assurance, for lack of a better phrase, happens is when it's rooted in community, when it really applies and appeals to people's sensibilities. And when you were talking, I sort of had this image of like the mobile veterinarian, the mobile mechanic, the, you know, mobile butcher even, who will show up and provide those services. Why not the mobile teacher or the mobile, you know, tech disruptor or innovator who could go and visit communities and spend time? I think these are the kind of scenarios we should be brainstorming. Now, the other question I've been asking people, and feel free to take a moment to think of this, because this is, you know, a bit out of left field, but was there anything that we failed to talk about at the AAC 2050? Were there elements both within your organization's work, which is very future-focused, but also within your own kind of professional perspective? You know, because we didn't have a lot of time and there was so much stuff going on. You know, is there anything that we need to double back on and make sure that we don't miss?
I'm not sure that we missed certain aspects. I think the conversation was very robust, but I do think what's really key and what we've seen in our own work is ensuring that the what now. Like, we kind of talked about what we need. We talked about priorities and things like that, but now what? How do we action it? And how do we ensure that these activities and conversations don't just continue to be conversations, but that they get actioned and move forward? And I think that I know that AAC is looking at that. I know that's one thing that they're really focused on is as their next step. But I think that's the real key. How do we move it forward? And how do we ensure we keep moving together in the same direction so that these things get addressed.
Well, and, you know, specifically, given that, again, I suspect you've got experience in this, it strikes me as a combination of both momentum, but for lack of a better phrase, kind of deliverables to show that you've done something and the action has been there. Do you have thoughts on what form that could take place? Because often the future focus stuff, to your point, does tend to get bogged down just in the conversations. You know, how do we create the kind of milestones that allow stakeholders to say, hey, look, we've done something. Let's keep this moving.
Yeah. I'll draw back to our experience again on the National Workforce Strategic Plan. We spent a lot of time on the front end of that, of bringing industry together and really developing a strat plan, like you would for any organization, but this is for a national industry, basically. But really being clear on what's tangible, what can we actually do in the short term? Where would that move us in the medium term? And then what's the longer term? And then revisiting those, that strategic plan approach on a regular basis to say, we've made progress here on these short-term goals. They're done or not. They need to move forward. And then when you get to what would be the medium-term goals, saying, okay, now they become our short-term goals, and rechecking, are we still on the right path? Are we moving forward in the right way? What has shifted? And, you know, as our world changes so quickly these days, it is necessary to do that check back as well and just say, okay, are these still valid? And what are we going to do? What can we do to move them forward? Certainly from our conversations or a workforce strategic plan and some of the conversation around the Agri-Food 2050, you know, some things are, we want those big goals. We want those big objectives, but some are more tangible and able to be moved forward quickly than others. And that's where that prioritization and real analysis of what came out of it needs to be done to ensure that we can demonstrate movement towards the end goal.
Right on. Fantastic answer. Any final thoughts or other elements in terms of hopeful thoughts for the future of the sector and the broader ecosystem?
I think that, you know, the agriculture and food sector is, well, certainly it's a sector that we will always need. We feed Canadians and we feed the world and we feed Ontarians. But I see there's just so much excitement and innovation happening in our industry right now that I really think we're really at a position to spring forward in adopting that innovation, adopting that technology, and really being an economic driver in Canada. And we are continuing to build that role we play as an economic driver as well. So I think it's an exciting time for the industry. We just have to, you know, make sure that we're all moving in the right direction, as I said, collaborating more than anything, and getting that message out to those that aren't already involved in the industry about, you know, the amazing things that are happening, the innovation, the technology, the AI, and what we do for Canada and the world.
Listening to Jennifer Wright, you can hear the shape of a different future taking form. A future where the real machinery isn't the robots or the sensors, but the people who learn, adapt, and carry knowledge forward. Progress doesn't begin in a lab or a boardroom. It begins in the conversations that draw communities together, in the skills we cultivate, and in the trust we place in one another's capacity to grow. If agriculture is a living system, then so is its workforce, rooted in experience, branching toward possibility. The work ahead is to nourish that system, to align our efforts, and to move with intention rather than inertia. The future won't arrive all at once. It will emerge through the choices we make, the collaborations we honor, and the care we invest in those who will inherit the fields we leave behind. Thank you for listening to The Future Heard. May these ideas travel with you, and may they spark the partnerships that tomorrow requires. Until then, I'm Jesse Hirsch.